Hello there, everyone. Welcome back to the Game Industry News Podcast, the Gem Lounge. I am Funkmaster Flex, Vincent Mahoney, and I'm joined here today with having difficulty breathing, Neil. How are you?
I got COVID, and it's still with me. I can't shake it.
Yeah, unfortunately, if Neil sounds a little bit under the weather to our couple recurrent listeners.
The bot from Lithuania.
Well, you know, there might be like a couple people who actually like to hear our voice, dude. Don't diminish them. Okay, it might be a bot from Lithuania. Whatever. Unfortunately, Neil's a bit under the weather, but we're doing this anyway because, I don't know. We don't really have a lot else better to do, I guess.
Because our non-existent fans are clamoring at our doors for us to do podcasts.
That's right. So we were initially going to make the subject of this the Activision acquisition by Microsoft, because they kind of just, you know, snatched up Activision Blizzard like an Eldritch Horror eating, I don't know, a puff pastry.
I was even going to do the exaggerated $1 billion like it was Austin Powers, but I can't.
Yeah, his poor voice can't take that right now, so we elected to just talk about the Nintendo Direct, because at the time of this recording, it has just been a day after the Direct, just to let you know exactly when this was recorded. And there were a few interesting games that were placed on the horizon there, so we thought we'd talk about that because Neil loves to criticize Nintendo. I get excited over like pretty flashing lights, so I'm probably not the best person to listen to, I'll be honest, but we thought we would just kind of go into this to see, you know, who we might be able to entertain. As it stands right now, I have the list up. Some of these might come as surprises to Neil.
I have the list of two. Two of us can't prepare for the show. You act like I just drunkenly stumble into the studio with a half bottle of Jack in my hand going, what are we talking about?
Okay, that was two sessions ago. And no, I will not stop bringing it up. Well, I know that there was one of these games that you were like more excited to play than the others. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, first, I want to give our dear sweet listeners some background. Vince and I have been playing Fire Emblem for quite some time. We've been playing it since the first ones came out in America. And
it's like 2002-ish.
Yeah, thereabouts. Smash Mouth was still relevant, if that dates it at all. We even played some of the ones that never quite made it overseas from Japan, utilizing translation packs. Fire Emblem 6 was a big one. Fire Emblem Genealogy of the Holy War. Classic games.
Yeah, I hope you get that one set up.
So Vince and I are long standing Fire Emblem fans, and over the years we have had many a disagreement about various aspects of the Fire Emblem series.
I just don't think that Seth is bringing sexy back. I'm sorry. I'm more of a Titania guy myself.
Which is fine. I can agree with that. So they announced Fire Emblem, it's called Fire Emblem Three Hopes. It's essentially the second Fire Emblem Warriors game. And I want to be excited. I really do. But the last Fire Emblem Warriors game left a great opportunity on the table. They brought in some amazing characters from older games and reskinned them. One example is, for those who don't know the characters, don't feel left out, we will explain. There was a character named Camilla, who was a dragon rider with an axe. Well, in the DLC, they brought in Minerva, who was a dragon unit from the previous game, And rather than give her own separate movesets, they just gave Minerva Camilla's moveset. So it just felt kind of haphazard. And I was hoping with this one, like, they had this, so that there's not a whole lot here other than it's coming out June 24th. So it's mostly, it's the characters from the most recent game, Fire Emblem Three Houses, which already, in my opinion, tells me the story is going to suck because Fire Emblem Three Houses' story was four different stories with different endings, and not one of them is canonical. And there's been no mention of bringing any retro units, retro characters like the original one did. So already that makes me a little worried. And I'm still going to buy it, but it just.
Well, okay. Allow me to be the suppository of hope in this situation then, okay? So, I understand a lot of the concerns with Fire Emblem Warriors because, yeah, it had a lot of copied movesets. A lot of the Warriors games, like Dynasty Warriors, Samurai Warriors, etc., have a wide variety of characters who are just clones of other characters in the games. And like Hyrule Warriors managed to avoid this a fair deal more than most other Warriors games do by just having a much smaller roster. So Link with his Hylian shield and sword, and the Master Sword was a different character than him using the ball and chain, was a different character than him using Epona. Warriors didn't really do that. They didn't even introduce different weapons for the same characters. Like, you had Frederick, who was an axe unit, so he was always just on horse axe unit. That's just all he ever was. So it didn't really have a lot of the possibilities that Awakening and Fates would normally lend to you having, which was definitely a weakness of the title. They were experimenting a little bit in that game, which is why they allowed you to just send off units in like that tactical screen, and they could actually handle things on their own. Because in most Warriors games, the only time anything ever gets done is when the player does it themselves. Fire Emblem was them kind of flipping the script on that just a tad. So yeah, I definitely see Fire Emblem Warriors as a solid Warriors game, but it was weaker when compared to Hyrule Warriors, or even like Pirate Warriors 3, which I can't speak on that one authoritatively, because I kind of played it through while really, really sick over the course of like a week, and I barely remember any of it because of how just awful I was feeling. But I do remember having a lot of fun with that one, and I don't remember a lot of clones, because how many stretchy arm characters are there in One Piece? I also don't read One Piece, so I didn't get a lot of the fan service. But Fire Emblem Warriors was just an excuse to have a whole bunch of characters pop in and say hello and do some fan service. Three Hopes, like what is essentially Fire Emblem Warriors 2, looks like they're actually going to try and do like some kind of golden route, because like Neil said, the original Three Houses had four different routes. One of them was hidden, and that's really the route of the one of the characters who was featured in the most promotional materials. Edelgard's route was just hidden away, and you had to choose specific options or you get locked to the church's route. And if you played Blue Lions, you don't even find out the actual impetus behind anything that goes on behind the scenes of the game at all. It was a very weird choice, because it's like, oh yeah, Edelgard bad. That's, congratulations, that's the entirety of the Blue Lions run.
Well,
I don't even think they mention the Agarthans in Blue Lions, do they?
They do not, and you're also forgetting, it's Edelgard bad and Dimitri randomly yelling. Those are the two things that make a good Blue Lion route.
Well, yeah, he has an eye patch now. He has to scream. He's been emasculated. He doesn't have depth perception anymore. What else is he going to do?
And I, Vince and I were even talking about this before the show, of we were comparing the story to other Fire Emblem games, and we were really hard pressed to find one, at least that we've played, because again, there were a lot of Fire Emblem games that did not make it overseas. We were very hard pressed to find one that had like an objectively weaker story. And because normally that is one thing Fire Emblem has been great about. Whether you look at 6 and 7, which spanned, I'll focus on 7, multiple years as like a silent protagonist. You spend first couple chapters helping Lynn through her stuff. A couple years pass, and then you join up with her and Ellawood, and then like you help them through their thing. And then like it's the story that goes over many years with many characters, and it feels epic. Sacred Stones, while a lot, it's more compact, it feels, than 7. The story, while not flashy, it was still solid and tight. Of bad guy wants to break these sacred stones, so the giant demons released. You know, it's typical high fantasy stuff, but still really well, really tight. And you have Path of Radiance that had to deal with like racial tensions. Like there were some really strong stories, and Three Houses just kind of felt like everything was very loosely tied together. It felt like there were 4 different people writing 4 different stories in 4 different rooms, and they weren't allowed to talk to each other.
Yeah, that's kind of what it's like. Like, I'll give some light pushback, because I never particularly found Fire Emblem's story as, like, super, super good. Because, like, if you compare, you know, Fire Emblem 7 or Path of Radiance to, I don't know, something like Tales of Symphonia. Tales of Symphonia in English has a very weak script because, you know, old Nintendo was, I believe, the one who translated the game and published it. So while they have, like, the main character as the voice actor of Robin from Teen Titans, the script is still kind of childish, but they pull the whole racial tension thing off way better there, just because it's way more involved with the story and using that as a vehicle to get you like to the next battle. Fire Emblem's kind of always been on the weaker side of that, but even saying that, Three Houses is a little bit on the weakest end of Fire Emblem stories. And it's primarily because there are some elements that just seemed rushed. Like, as an example, when you complete the school segment of the game, because like the first, I don't remember exactly how many chapters, I think it's 10 chapters of the game, all take place at the monastery. And then once you get done with the main monastery missions, the main character just disappears for 5 in-game years and then comes back as if nothing had ever happened and finds the respective lord whose class you were teaching, and they're just worse off for you not having been there. So the only reason I have hope for 3 Hopes, ha ha ha, funny joke. The only reason I have hope for that game's story is primarily because there's a part in the reveal trailer where Edelgard is like, knowing what I know now, blah, blah, blah. And then they show at the start of the trailer all of these characters in their original Three Houses outfits. But then toward the end of the trailer, they're in completely different uniforms. So it seems like, because by the time this happened, like Edelgard was already in her large red dress. Claude was already looking like, I don't know, a hottie. And Dimitri, I think, was already missing his eye. I don't remember. The Blue Lions route was a blur to me. But they're in like these transitory periods. So my supposition is that this game is going to take place as if Byleth never disappeared for those 5 years, and they do something to make Edelgard actually join with the rest of the cast to work against those who slither in the dark. Which, if me saying that is the first time you've heard the phrase, those who slither in the dark, I'm glad you played the game, Blue Lions players, but go back and do another route. Verdant Wind, hopefully. But like, even Edelgard's route, which was, you know, this big hidden thing that was supposed to be a reward, that was the first route that I did, and it felt just completely unfinished. Because it ends chapters earlier than the other routes, and they just kind of resolve the stuff with the big bad guys off screen. Like, there's just a text blurb about it before the credits roll. It's very strange. It's like they ran out of money, and they never explain why Byleth was unconscious for 5 whole years. They never... There are so many things in that game that are just weird. They had all the workings to make it good.
and my final point before we move on to the rest of the direct, because they announced some great things, is,
oh yeah,
while I don't want to say, I feel like my point might have been just a little mistaken. Fire Emblem stories were never great, but they were always tight. Like, you could
tell, they were serviceable. They didn't leave you asking questions like, why was this guy just gone for 5 years?
Yeah, there was a beginning, there was a climax, there was an end. It felt like a good...
And then you see Claude, and then there's another climax.
It felt like the stories were self-contained, and again, they were serviceable, but it didn't feel... It wasn't a second-order idiot plot, which, for those who don't know, is a plot that can only exist if everyone involved is an idiot. It wasn't like loose threads, we're going to keep you in suspense, but then just forget about it halfway through the book. But, all right. Do you know what you want to talk about first, Vince?
Advance Wars, probably. That's another one that,
yeah, like, that's what I was thinking.
I really
too.
Loved as a series.
Yeah, Advance Wars is getting a reboot of 1 and 2, which I think Advance, were those all Game Boy Advance, or was one of those Game Boy Color?
Well, so it's part of a long running series, but the first ones that the U.S. got were on the Game Boy Advance, and it was just, that's why it's called Advance Wars. They kept the name when they went to the Nintendo DS for the Dual Strike game, which I loved but was hilariously broken, because you could build up both CO's powers at once and just fire them off back to back and completely annihilate who you were against. And then they did... what was it? It was like Black something. I don't remember. But you probably had a point. Day of Ruin, that's it. Advance Wars Day of Ruin on the DS. Mm. That was the fourth game.
Okay, because I remember playing, I think it was the original Advance War game on Game Boy Advance, and I really enjoyed it. And especially, I feel like that kind of game will be a lot more appreciated now after the continued emergence of games like Valkyria Chronicles, XCOM, those sort of turn-based, isometric, tactical shooters. I feel like now is actually the best time to do a reboot of this series.
No, I can kind of agree with that. There's actually been a lot of games that kind of ape on the Advance Wars style that have come out. Now, my largest weakness here is my memory, because
you're
there's
old.
One in I mean, yeah, there is that. But there are games like Fae Tactics and just all of these other ones that kind of imitate that style of Advance Wars. Well, I guess actually Fae Tactics was imitating multiple games at once, not just specifically Advance Wars. Tiny Metal is probably the closest one I can think of, which that game's on Steam. From what I remember, it was remarkably cheap. But people really like those types of games. Just simple games where you collect money by managing resources, make units, send them out. The health of the unit kind of dictates the effectiveness of that unit, which makes sense, because why should a gunship at 100% capacity not deal more damage than a gunship that's at like 20%? You know, like, they're holding it together with duct tape. Of course it's not going to be as effective. But like, Neil played the first one, and I played every single one except the first one. Like, I still have my Game Boy Advance cartridge for 2, and I never managed to find one when I was a kid. I've still got Dual Strike on my shelf. Somebody stole my copy of Day of Ruin, and they will never be forgiven. But I love these games, because you just, you capture cities, it gets you money, you move your units around. Depending on which CO you choose to play as, you'll have an unlockable power that you build up by either taking damage or dealing damage. And that can help either like flip a situation on its head when you're losing, or it can help further cement you winning. I'm kind of a scrub, so I played as Kanbei all the time, who I discovered later is actually one of the best characters in Advance Wars as a whole. His units cost more, but they're just better. So I would just rush with mechs a lot of the time. But it'll be great for these games to be remade and like new graphics and everything like that for a new generation to kind of delve into. Because it's been since the Nintendo DS, since this series has seen the light of day. Unless you go and like specifically look for these types of games, like on Steam.
Yeah, and I think this is a good example of a well thought out reboot. I know I've harped a few times on games that are not even that old getting remastered, Uncharted. But this is a game that has been shelved for so long, yet there's even if not a triple A audience want for this game, I know the people who tend to frequent like the indie market would love to probably pick up and the Advance Wars 1 and 2 reboot and be able to play it on a Switch, and especially for old farts like us that want to take a trip down memory lane. So no, I appreciate Nintendo taking the chance and rebooting this game, because this feels more like a love project than a cash grab.
Like Uncharted.
Like Uncharted.
Have you seen the posters for the movie?
I've seen the trailer and
nope.
You know how I've had 8 concussions. I wanted to give myself a 9th one, hoping I could forget the trailer. But speaking of what we've talked about with Fire Emblem and Advance Wars, I
thought you were going to be like, speaking of concussions, there's a new Mario sports game. I thought you were going to transition into the next game using concussion. I'm sorry.
I do want to get to a game that I'm excited about. That's kind of, it looks like kind of a mix of Fire Emblem and other tactical games of that nature. Old Fire Emblem, I should say. Called Triangle Strategy. It has a very retro feel with the graphics. Now, there is a demo out. I have not had a chance to play the demo yet. I watched the trailer and it looks really interesting. When I look at the graphics, it reminds me of games like Golden Sun. I'm blanking on some of the other ones I'm thinking of.
Octopath Traveler.
And the strategy behind it looks very complex, but rewarding. And it looks like a type of game that is going to be easy to learn, difficult to master, but it feels like one of those games that will reward you for mastering all of its little nuances by making the game by doing good damage, being able to get through levels easier, and it just, the story itself looks really good.
Yeah, like, I'm super excited for Triangle Strategy. Octopath didn't disappoint me. I know that some people didn't really like how disconnected the stories were, which they are until you, like, reach the very end and then all the characters interact.
So what Fire Emblem was probably trying to do with Three Houses, but just didn't.
Well, that's hard to say. Three Houses could have been saved by having a golden route, honestly. Like, by having a singular canon route that answers all of the questions, like, why were there cruise missiles? Did they explain where the cruise missiles came from, Neil? I don't. That's a spoiler, by the way. If you haven't played Fire Emblem by now, I'm sorry you've been listening to a video game podcast while we talk about it. But there are cruise missiles. So have fun with that knowledge if you haven't played the game.
You know what I was hoping?
Blue Lions players.
You know what I was hoping they would do is, do you remember the movie Clue?
Yeah. So, I like that movie, actually.
So the theaters, they sent it, and the ones in the theaters had one of three different endings. But they specified in, like, the DVD releases, it had all the endings at the end, and it would say, like, it could have happened like this or this. But then there was one canonical ending where everyone killed at least one other person. So I feel like just having even a definitive one of the storylines is the canonical story would have been beneficial. But we've griped about Fire Emblem enough. But Triangle Strategy, it looks like it's going to be a solid game. It's a Squaresoft game, comes out in July. If you get a chance, go see the trailer. And now I want everyone to go ahead, make a bag of popcorn, because you're going to be here a while. Vince, tell us about Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Okay, so I just want you to know that just off of the whole Triangle Strategy thing, I had two other places I could go. Because, like, Triangle Strategy is made by the guys who made Octopath, and Octopath is kind of like a different version of Live Alive, which also got revealed during the Direct. I also could have used that to jump to another strategy game that they revealed in Front Mission, which I don't know if you played that, like, back in the day, but it's like a mech customization, turn-based strategy type of game. Really fun. Kind of excited to see the remake of that. But now that you throw that out there, I kind of can't help but take the bait. All right. Massive Xenoblade fan is what I am. Like, I've loved basically anything that's come from Tetsuya Takahashi. I know his name. That's how you know I like his work. So he's been the guy who has directed or written for, like, or he's worked in some capacity on, like, Xenogears, Xenosaga 1, 2, and 3, Xenoblade, all of those. Like, him and his wife, who I believe her name is Soraya Saga, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correct, because, you know. But they showed off a trailer for Xenoblade Chronicles 3, and it's this incredible mishmash of things that you've seen from both Xenoblade 1 and Xenoblade 2. So I know there's probably some people who may have played one and not the other, but this looks to be a direct continuation of both. And I'm not going to spoil the games, because getting into, like, oh, what this means in the trailer would probably be, like, a massive spoiler if you haven't played either of the games. But they show, I mean, the entire thing with Xenoblade 1 is that the entire world that the game takes place on is just covered in ocean. And the only land masses are these giant dead titans who killed each other while fighting. Things kind of get out of control. A kid gets a laser sword. Gods get involved. It's wild. It's absolutely one of the best stories in a video game The Definitive Edition is on Switch. If you like JRPGs, play it. If you don't like JRPGs, I still kind of think you might enjoy it. If you just hate anime, well, I can't be friends with you. I'm sorry. Lose my number. But Xenoblade 2, it kind of dials the weeb factor up to like 11. Because I really don't want to get into it.
Is it a waifu? It's a waifu, isn't it?
There's so many waifus in Xenoblade 2. It is absolutely insane. And the worst part is, I kind of really like Pyra and Mithra. So when they got announced for Smash Brothers, I was super excited.
He woke me up in the middle of the night to tell me this.
I sent you a message. You didn't turn your notifications off, is what I'm telling you right now.
You called me. It was like 11 o'clock. I was in bed. You disturbed the dog because you just had to tell me.
I don't think this happened. I think you're trying to do a funny because I don't call anybody.
I think your memory is going bad.
Probably. I don't know, man. Listen, the only thing I'll say about Xenoblade 2 is that it's basically like a boy meets girl love story where like the girl is actually two girls who are the same person. And the whole thing is like one of them is actually a manifestation of the trauma that the other one has. And you're trying to make them overcome depression and there's Titans involved. It's really weird. I don't even remember what role the giant robot maid played in like the middle of the game. That was kind of weird. I don't think anything story relevant happened as a result of that chapter. But everything else in it was pretty cool, and the ending is like absolute top tier. The ending of 2 even ties into the ending of 1. And Xenoblade Chronicles 3 shows off how, like, everything has changed after the ending of 2. So you have characters who, they have ether lines on their body. They're very clearly, like, blades from Xenoblade 2. You have characters who look like flesh eaters from Xenoblade 2. You have characters who look like races that were in Xenoblade 1 that actually weren't in 2. So that's how you know, like, the worlds merged. It's really cool, extremely exciting. I have no idea where they're going with it, but so far what they've shown of just the character art and that little bit of the trailer, I'm kind of pulling the Fry from Futurama, you know, shut up and take my money, you know?
You know, speaking of getting over depression, Wii Sports is getting a sequel.
I saw that and I wasn't sure what I thought about it. I'm actually kind of glad they're doing something like that because, you know, more casual games can't really be that bad. It's not like the guys who worked on Mario are working on that now.
No, I mean, I'm honestly okay with it. Wii Sports, for what it is it's fine. Like, we've all played Wii Bowling and had a good time with it. No, but now I feel like with the title, I'm having the tree falls in a woods argument. If the sports game isn't on the Wii, is it still Wii Sports?
Well, they're not calling it Wii Sports. It's like Nintendo Sports now or whatever. But I think the people who didn't have a good time playing like Wii Sports were the people who chucked their Wii remotes into their TV. I think that's the only way you had a bad time while playing Wii Sports. Because it's not garbage. It's weird.
Either that, or you're one of those people who, I don't even know if gatekeeping would be the right term, where it's just like, oh, they could have made a regular video game, but no, they had to make this. This isn't a video game. No one likes that guy. Let people have fun.
Yeah, I think I'd file that under gatekeeping.
Let people have fun. If they want to play Wii Bowling, let them play Wii Bowling. If they want to play Bejeweled or whatever it is, let them do it. Like, unless it's not directly affecting you. But yeah, I think most of the gripes from Wii Sports came from people who had to say, I or my kid broke the TV.
Well, yeah, and I mean, there's this weird subculture where there are people who like want to protect gaming as this thing, as this precious thing inherent to them. It's like, it's a hobby. You don't use this to define yourself as a person. You have a lot more to offer the world than just that. Like, I am more than the games that I play. Because God help me, if I was just the games that I play, I would be insufferable. I called Neil in the middle of the night to tell him about Pyra and Mithra getting into Smash. I'm probably insufferable. But we're not going to talk about that right now.
But we are.
I'd like to talk about Kirby now, please.
I was going to say live alive, but okay, yeah, let's talk Kirby. Let's talk about our favorite fat pink thing and also Kirby.
Ouch.
That was a self-burn on me.
It could apply to either of us, honestly. Like, I'm just a little darker pink than you are. That's all my genes have offered me. So post-apocalyptic Kirby, how does that make you feel?
I don't know. I have a lot of feelings.
Did you see him eat the car?
Yes, I have a lot of feelings, and I don't know how to... I don't know if there are words for them.
Okay, I have to ask you this. You know that picture that was going around the internet? Like, if a dog were going to wear pants, would he wear them like this? And it shows the pant legs, like, up over the dog's ass. And then, like, they have another one where it's like, or would they wear them like this? And it shows, like, the dog wearing pants on both sets of their legs or whatever.
Yeah.
Someone at Nintendo was actually like, oh, if Kirby were to eat a car, he'd just wrap himself around the top of the car. It's horrifying. Everything in that game looks so cute, but that is absolutely freaking weird. I don't know what to make of it. I don't know how often that's going to happen in game. I do know that, like, the first time I have the opportunity to do that, like, should I get the game, I'm going to just call over to my wife and be like, hey, honey, watch this. Just to see what she says. She's not going to know about this. She does real things for a living. She's never going to know anything about Kirby until it comes out.
And in case anyone was wondering who listens to us, and when we made the joke about not having listeners, and you thought, oh, well, their spouses probably listen. They don't. They really don't.
They do not care what we spend our time doing. They just want us to call them when dinner's ready, that sort of thing. My wife wants to know when a new Zelda game comes out. That's basically all she cares about.
Zelda
video game related.
Zelda or The Sims.
Yeah, Zelda, The Sims, or Dragon Age, I guess, is another one. She has a very eclectic gaming taste, is what I've noticed.
Don't tell the gatekeepers. Don't tell the gatekeepers.
Yeah. Anyone who says that The Sims is not a good game just has not spent time listening to someone who absolutely adores The Sims. There is a lot of game within that software. It is insane. Because I remember playing Sims 1. When Sims 2 came out, I bought it. And then I gave it to my wife. She was my girlfriend at the time. I gave it to her because she wanted it very badly. That's it. That is the end of the story. That was the last time I played Sims 2. I've been with her for a very long time. Jesus Christ. New Kirby, he has a gun. I don't know if you saw that. Kirby has a gun now, so that's one more thing that Kirby and Shadow the Hedgehog have in common. I hope this game is better than Shadow the Hedgehog. That's all I need.
can it be worse?
Yes, it could be Sonic 06. The game where, like, nothing works properly and he kisses a girl. If Kirby kisses a girl, I'm probably out, because it's like, how are you even still alive?
The cooties will get you, man. So a couple brief hits. Mario Strikers is coming back, because I'm sure the Mario fans and soccer fans is a really large slice in the Venn diagram.
There's a lot of people who really liked the Strikers game on GameCube. Like, some of those Mario Sports games, when they hit, they hit. I never really got the opportunity to play Strikers because, like, I never owned it. But a friend of mine was absolutely over the moon for it. One of his favorite games of all time, and I'm pretty sure it was the GameCube one.
And I do want to bring up one game. I know quite a few people in my friend circle are going just absolutely bonkers over this. They are remastering the game Chrono Cross.
Yep.
I have never played Chrono Cross or Chrono Trigger.
You need to play Chrono Trigger first.
How
do you want to play Chrono Trigger? I can send it to you. I have whatever. You should play it because it is 2022. The game was made, I don't know, sometime mid-90s. Who cares? Everything about it holds up. The battle system, the progression, the story. Like, the story's a little simplistic, but if we can say that Fire Emblem has, like, good, like, passable to good stories, Chrono Cross is amazing. Like, there's a few moments that you probably legitimately wouldn't expect that they do take advantage of the time traveling mechanic, but there's quite a number of references in Chrono Cross you won't get if you didn't play Trigger.
Vince,
so everyone should go play Chrono Trigger.
Don't cite game years to me like I'm not going to like it. I've beaten Fire Emblem Sacred Stones over 200 times, and it came out in like 02. One of my favorite games is The Legend of Dragoon, for God's sake.
Well, that's why, like, whenever you mention something about Sacred Stones, I'm like, yeah, I played it, like, twice. And I don't remember any of the characters except Seth, because that was Seth Emblem to me.
Yeah.
Like, I think the girl lord is Erica, and then there's Ephraim.
Yeah, but...
I don't even remember what the Cain and Abel knights are called.
It is Ford and Kyle.
Okay, so a car brand and a guy who punches holes in walls. Got it.
Right. But the weird thing about the female lord is it's spelled like Irika. It's like E-I-R-I-K-A. It looks like if you ask your five-year-old to spell Erica, how they would spell it.
Okay, so the year doesn't matter. Just in case you were worried about, I don't know, Chrono Trigger being dated, because I mean it was even before The Legend of the Dragoon, but because like it doesn't have timed hits or anything, it's using the ATB system, just like Final Fantasy was using at the time. But everything it does well. It's still like in my top three best RPGs ever,
and that says a lot.
It's kind of sad because you've
played a lot of them.
I probably have like 300 to 400 RPGs under my belt. Like it's my favorite genre.
I am pretty sure.
I try to play a little bit of everything.
I'm pretty sure if I drew blood from you, your blood would come back 10% JRPG.
I mean, you would look at the red blood cells under a microscope and it would just be waifus. It's very strange. I don't even understand how I'm still alive.
Whenever your white blood cells go to attack an invader, they have to use the ATB system.
That's probably why I get sick so often.
So, Splatoon 3 was announced.
Which, that's a good series. Have you even played Splatoon?
I have not. I don't have an opinion. Like, I'm not going to say anything derogatory. I have legit never played any Splatoon game. So, for those who are Splatoon fans, you got a third one coming out. It's Splatoon 3 Salmon Run.
Well, Salmon Run's a game mode.
Oh, game mode?
In it, yeah. So Splatoon does multiple different game modes. Like, the one that they usually show off is called Turf War, where you have to... Like, killing people is secondary to just making sure more of your color ink is on the ground. And whoever has the most of the ground covered wins. So killing enemies helps with this, but it doesn't have to be your priority, and a player can be MVP while still not killing a bunch. But they have, like, this Rainmaker one where you have to, like, get a thing to a place. I'm pretty sure that's the right game mode. I didn't play a ton of ranked Splatoon, is kind of my largest issue. But Salmon Run was this mode where you team up with three other people and you kill these like little creatures called salmonids or whatever. And they might have these like golden eggs, and you take those and you, I mean, basically dump them in a basket, and you try not to let the salmonids take the eggs back. They have a variety of game modes. It's a very competent shooter. I do like that they kind of pushed the focus off onto operating as a team rather than just being, you know, Team Deathmatch Clone 541.
Right.
I obviously didn't play an absolute ton of Splatoon, but if I might try and play more of it, you know, in the future. I'm hoping that they bring back like the little NES zapper gun, because that was my favorite gun to use for a long time there.
The Portal Companion Collection was announced. It was Portal 1 and 2 are coming to the Switch.
Yeah, like that was equally as surprising as seeing No Man's Sky.
I agree. But I wanted to leave one for the end. I don't know about the Klonoa game unless you do.
They were fun Game Boy Advance games.
I want you to talk to us about Live Alive.
Okay, well, so anyone who's heard of Octopath probably has an idea down of what the game tried to do back in the 90s. So it never came out of Japan, but it was this game where you could pick from like these different variety of characters. Like one character lives in the prehistoric times, another character's futuristic. I believe there was a Western character. Not all of the information I'm going to say is going to be super accurate, because I played this game, I mean, probably 17, 18 years ago now. But it has one of the best boss battle themes I've ever heard. I think it's called Megalomania. I have no idea what Square Enix was doing that they produced a boss battle theme that kick-ass, like, all the way back then. But you play as these different characters, you resolve their stories, and at the end, they all come together to fight this really just pain-in-the-neck boss. So that's very similar to what they did with Octopath Traveler so many years later. This Live Alive one remake that they're doing looks like it's revamping the graphics substantially. There might be balance changes done. Like, I don't exactly know what, like, the top-tier strategies were, because I was playing the game. I had a legally purchased copy of the game, but I was trying to use a translation patch on my computer that was, I would say, two steps above gibberish. So I don't really know a lot of what was happening in the story. You'll notice that when I talk about games, like, via emulation way back in the day, a lot of it was kind of a Wild West era, so I'll actually enjoy being able to go through this game and actually know what's happening for once. That'll be fun. But it was just a very competent JRPG. If there's someone who's played Seiken Densetsu 3, Trials of Mana, for some reason the Japanese name came to me before the English title did. But if you appreciated
all that Duolingo.
Yeah, right. That's, I mean, originally how I played it was with that funny name. Done in the Moon Runes, you know. But if you could appreciate Trials of Mana, because I know they put that on the Switch, or if you could appreciate any of the Dragon Quest games that were ported, because I know they did like that package of 1, 2, and 3 that came out, or even any of the older Final Fantasies, you will probably adore Live Alive, just because it's very charming. And I have no idea why it never made it out of Japan, but I thought for so long that it was criminal. So when they were showing off those visuals during the Direct, I was sitting there kind of going, there's no way. That's the wrong game. But yeah, they actually ported Live Alive, and I still can't believe it. So I'll finally get to know what happens in that game so many years later.
So,
oh wait, there was one more thing that they announced.
What's that?
Well, okay, there were multiple more things that they announced. There's like SD Gundam, stuff like that too. But, you know, if you like SD Gundam, great for you. There's more Mario Kart 8 DLC. They're putting out like 48 new tracks, I think is what it is.
Wow.
Yeah. It's going to be like $25 and they're doing a ton more. It's another game's worth of Mario Kart tracks, which is super interesting. I thought they were just going to come out with Mario Kart 9, but if they want to save me the $35, I'm all about it. Mario Kart 8's mechanics are phenomenal. It's kind of like how if they don't do anything more with Smash Brothers after Ultimate, they just keep like adding more stuff to Ultimate, or like, I don't know, you know, the Switch has come and gone. They're on their new system, the Nintendo Power Bottom, whatever it might be, and they just port over Smash Ultimate. I won't be upset because like Ultimate's core mechanics are extremely good. Like I liked 4, but it was way too defensive. I think Ultimate has like the best balance. I'm not MK Leo or anything, so take my opinion with a grain of salt. But I think adding more tracks to Mario Kart 8 is a really good idea. Sucks that it's paid DLC, but it's going to be an entire new game's worth of tracks, which I think is excellent. And apparently you can use them all online too. And I guess they're adding them to that new Switch Online subscription, the expansion pass one that gets you N64 games and Genesis games. They're adding it to that. I still don't think that is worthwhile. I will just give them the $25 the one time and move on. I'm not a huge fan of Animal Crossing.
So here is my final question to you. Because there are some things I want to talk about after this a little bit, but what was your highlight and or low light of the direct?
The highlight was Xenoblade 3. You don't even have to ask. There's actually a lot that I liked in this direct. Xenoblade 3, Live Alive, Advance Wars. Like, I knew Advance Wars was coming, so I guess we can like knock that one off the list. Fire Emblem Warriors was kind of an out of left field surprise, because a lot of the rumors circulating were, hey, they're doing a remake of Genealogy of the Holy War, aka Vincent's favorite Fire Emblem, second only to Fire Emblem 7. So it was really cool. I hope that the story in Fire Emblem Warriors is less like the original Fire Emblem Warriors and less like Hyrule Warriors and more like Persona 5 Scramble, which I know you probably have never played, but Persona 5 Scramble was a warrior style game for Persona 5, and it's like a full-blown sequel. It's also quite long, and there's a ton of story to it. They did a very good job on Scramble. So after seeing that and maybe Age of Calamity, I'm kind of hoping they do a great job with that one too. Front Mission was neat. I don't really care about No Man's Sky. I know a lot of people loved it. I had a massive bad taste in my mouth from that game from when it released on PC. I've heard it's good now, so that's cool, but I'm not sure I can sit down and play it without having flashbacks of just there being nothing originally when I first started it.
For me, yeah. We all know how much I like to gripe about things. I can't find a low light in this direct. I mean, for me,
there's a Disney game.
For me,
they did Disney Kart.
That doesn't even deserve a response. For me, there are a lot of mehs, but that's more of a personal thing, like Splatoon, Klonoa, Portal. It's meh. I mean, it's just not me. I think what I was most excited about is still probably Triangle Strategy. Just because I feel like there's a lot of potential with that game.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention that one. Add that one to my list too.
And going back to Fire Emblem for my final thing, you know what Warriors game I wouldn't mind seeing them, I guess, emulate because of the way it's the way how many characters there are and all of the how big the map is. Did you ever play any of the Dynasty Warriors Empires games?
I've probably played one of them, but I'll need more description because my problem with Dynasty Warriors is I've played like four or five, but they all kind of blend together. Like I played one Orochi game. I don't know which.
Yeah, kind of an issue with them. And they actually have a new Dynasty Warriors Empires out or coming out for the Switch. And I haven't played one in about a decade. So now might be a time to grab one. But so essentially in the Empires games, China's broken up on all these different provinces and you have to like, you can put in some strategy like taxing, recruitment, stuff like that, but you actually have to battle and take over. Oh, it's the one with
the sim stuff.
What is it?
It's the one with the simulation stuff.
Kind of. Like, yeah. you still go in and hack and slash different areas.
But it has like an extra, it's like ActRaiser almost, in where you have like a simulation phase and then you have a run into battle and beat up Lubu phase.
Right, so with Fire Emblem Three Houses having massive rosters, various kingdoms, a large map, I feel like having a Dynasty Warriors Empires sort of feel might actually kind of fit it better. I just want to say I am 99.99% sure they are not going that direction, but I think it would be a nice change of pace, and for this Fire Emblem, especially. And I get the feeling that they're not going to bring in any retro, because if they're trying to keep it a self-contained Three Houses only story, then they're probably not going to want to do the timey-wimey-wibbly-wobbly nonsense.
Well, they'll probably do like what they did with Age of Calamity, which that's actually one of the ones where I thought they had a pretty good variety of movesets. Like every character has their own weapon, and like a couple of them get extra weapons, like Zelda gets the Sheikah Slate, and then she also gets a bow. And I think she gets a third weapon that I don't remember. We'll just go with that. She gets a bow for sure, and she gets a Sheikah Slate, and she has two different move sets based off of which weapon she has equipped. Link has multiple weapons. He can use like an axe, a sword, or no, I'm sorry, he uses a long sword, a regular size sword, like a short sword, and a spear. And like he has three different move sets depending on which one of those weapons you have equipped, that kind of thing. I'm hoping that for Fire Emblem Warriors 3 Hopes, they go more the Age of Calamities route with it, where, you know, Edelgard doesn't just feel like another axe unit. Because having, I don't know, let's say for example, in Fire Emblem Warriors you had, I believe, Robin, and one of the last DLC characters was a mage who controlled almost exactly like Robin. You had a DLC character who was basically just Marth, but better. You had Minerva, who was just Camilla, but better. Admitting there's not really a lot you can do with a Wyvern Lord outside of, you know, run and slam and stuff. I get that. But I do hope they take like an Age of Calamity route where there's more unique movesets rather than falling back into the whole, oh, hey, you know, we're going to do like we did with Dynasty Warriors Orochi, or I don't know, whatever the latest one is now. There's one where there's like 70 plus characters, but there's only like 20 movesets, if that, in the entire game.
Which I'll That's be honest, nuts. As a longtime Dynasty Warriors player, that actually is like getting worse, because even the older ones had, even the sword users had different move sets, and just a different amount of just different weapons. you would have 25 different weapons just between 25 different characters. So if they have gone that route, then they have intentionally scaled back, because Dynasty Warriors, even some of the later ones, like six was, I think seven, those are the two I most recently played. Almost everyone had a different move set, and there was like 45 different characters you could use.
Yeah, it's, I'm not exactly sure what they're doing, because I'm more of a fair weather Dynasty Warriors fan, because I, my experience with the series, I've played like one, maybe two of each like traditional Koei Tecmo Dynasty Warriors game. So you're, you got your Warriors Orochi, you've got your regular Dynasty Warriors. I've apparently played one of the Empires games, because I remember the simulation screen. I just don't remember the game super well. I really like the spin-offs more. Like Persona 5 Scramble, that's probably one of the best ones they've ever done. When you have the musical talent and writing talent from Atlas helping with your game, that's fantastic. Age of Calamity was great. I know a lot of people didn't really like how they approached the story, just because they did do the wibbly wobbly timey-wimey stuff, which not, I don't have really an opinion on it. I was hoping for more than what they gave, but the core game was still quite good regardless, because you had a large variety of movesets, pretty decent mission variety, that sort of thing. You didn't have like an overload of missions like you had in the original Hyrule Warriors, but it's fine. Like, it's fine for what they were working with. Dragon Quest, what was it, Dragon Quest Warriors? I actually don't remember what the name of that subseries was now. I played the second one of that and enjoyed it too, and it was way less like a Warriors game, but still quite entertaining.
Yeah,
I played Pirate Warriors. There's so many spinoffs, and they're so much better than the regular Dynasty Warriors games, in my opinion.
For me, like, I fell out of favor with Dynasty Warriors a while ago. If I do play a Dynasty Warriors game, I will only play the Empire ones. Which I consider a spinoff, because they don't do an Empire's one every rotation.
Yeah, it's classified as a spinoff, I'd imagine. There's a lot of different spinoffs, like even Samurai Warriors.
Yeah. My final thing is, if they do bring in some retro heroes, the ones I would like are Ellawood, Hector, Ephraim, Erica. I feel like those four would be solid put-ins, especially Hector. Let's be honest. That giant axe.
I think they'd be fine if they just didn't. If they pull an Age of Calamity and they just have it solely restricted to characters that showed up in a particular game. Because that's the big thing with Age of Calamity, was only characters who could be connected to Breath of the Wild showed up in Age of Calamity. I think I'd be fine with them just restricting it to the Three Houses cast, but I am hoping that by Intelligent Systems not being responsible for developing the game, they're able to make a decently long scenario that you can actually play into that helps answer some questions, or at least, I don't know, does kind of the story and the ending properly. Like, you know, actually give us that golden route that everyone was kind of hoping the downloadable content would have been.
Yeah, which, by the way, I'm going to talk to you about that after the show. I think I'm going to talk to our boss and see if he can get you Mario Strikers, because I want you to play Mario Strikers while I commentate in Portuguese and even do the loud go every time you score. Because that's,
I'm not sure your voice can handle that right now, actually.
Well, luckily the game doesn't come out for like another couple months.
That's true.
I will drink all of the hot tea in China to be able to do that.
Well, I've already cleared Pokemon Legends Arceus off my list. I still have to write the review for it. It actually took me quite a while to finish that one. But, like, that's off. That's going to be out of my bucket. I'm not going to have that to do any longer. I will gladly take on Mario Strikers, so that way, I don't know, you can probably insult my playing in Portuguese.
It'll be fun. We'll see if Duolingo will sponsor it.
There is no chance.
Oh, that sounds like a challenge.
Challenge for who, exactly?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm not going to tell you how to spend your time, buddy.
Oh, we should probably let the viewers go. They're probably like, oh, these guys.
Yeah, well, at least, I mean, I was planning on spending a portion of this gushing about Legends Arceus, so be glad I didn't do that. The game's good, like, real good.
That'll probably...
Looks like crap, though, but...
That'll probably be next show, so...
There we go.
Thanks for joining us, guys. Feel free to shoot us an email, ginlounge@gameindustry.com. Listen to us wherever you get your podcast. Tell your friends, tell your friend, tell your imaginary friend. Just tell someone. We want more than the bot from Lithuania.
That's true. It's not like my wife's going to be listening to this.
Or mine.
Anyway, guys, peace out.